Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. A federal jury in New York has found former President Trump liable for sexual battery and defamation. The jury also awarded the plaintiff $5 million in damages. The case was brought by writer E. Jean Carroll, who claims Trump attacked her in a department store in New York in the mid-1990s. Carroll says she filed a civil lawsuit because Trump denied knowing her and for claiming that her allegations were an attempt to sell books. Trump is expected to appeal. New York Republican Congressman George Santos could appear in court as soon as Wednesday. As NPR's Giles Snyder reports, he's facing criminal charges.
Word of the charges against Congressman Santos were first reported by CNN, but their nature remains unclear. They remain under seal. However, NPR has confirmed that Santos is facing at least one charge in the Eastern District of New York in Brooklyn. Santos has admitted to lying about his life story, calling them harmless embellishments, and there are questions about his campaign spending.
NPR's Giles Snyder. Deaths from gun violence are at their highest rates in 20 years. NPR's Ping Wong reports on a new study revealing who tends to be affected during periods of high gun violence in the U.S.
The researchers surveyed more than 2,400 people born between the 1980s and mid-90s who grew up in Chicago. By the time they reached the age of 40, half of the respondents had seen someone getting shot. The average age for when they first saw that was 14. That's the takeaway from the new study published in JAMA Open Network. It found that Black and Hispanic individuals were four times more likely than white respondents to have seen someone get shot, and those who were born later in the mid-90s were also less exposed to gun violence, says Robert Sampson, a Harvard sociologist who co-authored the study.
By the luck of the draw, the birth lottery of history, they were born just as the violence rate in the United States was coming down.
But more recent surges in gun violence means this latter group is catching up. Ping Huang, NPR News.
U.S. and Saudi diplomats are trying to get the warring parties in Sudan to agree to a more permanent ceasefire. And the U.S. says it hasn't given up on restoring civilian rule there, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The talks taking place in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, are focused on getting to a more permanent ceasefire between Sudan's army and a rival paramilitary force and opening up aid routes. But Secretary of State Antony Blinken has broader goals for Sudan.
We continue to engage directly with Sudanese civilian leaders, the Sudanese civil society, with the goal of putting their nation back on the track to civilian democratic governance. That's the goal that we share and a goal that we will not give up on.
Blinken was speaking alongside his British counterpart, thanking the UK for helping to evacuate more than 1,300 Americans from Sudan. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
U.S. futures are flat in after-hours trading on Wall Street. This is NPR. Democrats and Republicans have yet to reach any deal on raising the nation's debt ceiling, only weeks before a possible government default. President Biden and top congressional leaders met at the White House Tuesday to discuss the matter. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is insisting on budget cuts in exchange for Republican votes to raise the nation's borrowing limit. But Biden says he will not agree to any debt bill that has strings attached. A new report from the Anti-Defamation League finds that white supremacist propaganda is increasing in California. As Leslie McClurg from member station KQED reports, the group says that California leads the nation in extremist-related murders.
The Anti-Defamation League has documented a rise in anti-Semitic attacks, white supremacist events, and hate crimes in California as well as some other parts of the U.S. David Bakarsley is the director of the Jewish Public Affairs Committee. He says he's seeing more anti-Semitic banners hanging over freeways, flyers strewn across lawns, and more trucks blasting hate messages.
It's starting to feel really close to home. And then when two people wearing a yarmulke walking down the streets of Los Angeles get shot on consecutive days, I realize I wear a yarmulke and walk down the streets of Los Angeles. We're all feeling it every day.
The report shows that larger far-right groups like the Proud Boys are very active, and smaller groups are increasingly collaborating. For NPR News, I'm Leslie McClurg.
Again, U.S. futures are flat in after-hours trading on Wall Street. On Asia-Pacific markets, shares are mixed, but down a fraction in Shanghai. This is NPR News.